Proverbs chapter 10, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 10. Again, on Wednesday nights, we've been dealing with the subject of wisdom from above. It's a series of just kind of a little journey through Proverbs here. And I've been picking some things out as we went through the first nine chapters and dealt with some passages. And now these little tidbits of truth here that we find in each of these verses from here, chapter 10, all the way to chapter 30. And so we've kind of parked on a few of these here in Proverbs chapter 10, and I trust tonight's message will be a help to us. So in Proverbs chapter 10, just one verse tonight, and I'll give the guys a second to get that handout. And if you need a pen, I'm sure they can get you a pen as well. Just let them know about that. All right, ready for it? Let's go. Proverbs chapter 10, notice verse 22. The Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." What does that mean? Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." One more time. Ready? Begin. "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and ask your blessing upon the preaching of your word. Father, we're grateful that thy word is truth, as the Lord Jesus Christ said to us in John 17. We're grateful that we have the truth, and we pray tonight that we'd understand it. We understand that we can only get it by your Spirit. So please speak to our hearts, open our eyes and ears of understanding, and may our heart be open to your word tonight. May we apply it, Lord, as you see fit in our hearts tonight. Please bless the message. Fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lead and direct my thoughts and my words this evening. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. December 8th, 2021, there was an article I came across that I thought was interesting. It was written by Dan Moskowitz, published in Investopedia. It was entitled this, "The 10 Richest People in the World." Of course, that was just not that long ago, December 8th, 2021. And as of the writing of the article, he said in the article that according to Bloomberg Billionaires Index, the following people were considered the wealthiest individuals in the entire world. I won't give you all 10, just going to go through the first seven. Number one, Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, with a $278 billion net worth. Number two, Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. His last name is pronounced different ways. I tried to figure it out. Everybody says it different. Anyway, he has a net worth, $202 billion. Bernard Arnault, CEO of LVMH. It's the world's largest luxury goods company. He's third with a net worth of $170 billion. Number four, you thought he was probably sooner on the list, Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft with a $137 billion net worth. Number five and six are Larry Page and Sergey Brin, both co-founders of Google. Page has a net worth of $131 billion. Brin has a net worth of $126 billion. Number seven, and the last I'll mention tonight, Mark Zuckerberg, co-founder of Facebook. Who would have ever thought when that little company, a lot of these were actually little companies, would come to this? He has a $121 billion net worth. That's a lot of money. It absolutely is. You know, what's also interesting is this. According to Pew Research, wealth, as always, that's I'll add that little comment in, holds a great attraction still today for many people, and especially for those under the age of 30. Pew Research tells us that 42% of them say that being wealthy is important, and 20% of them say that being wealthy is a top priority. They want money. They want to be rich. Now, it's interesting because the world has always propagated the idea that money brings happiness. That's what they like to say. Or the more things you have, the better your life will be. That's the propagation that we hear in the world. They'll say having riches will solve your problems. It can solve many problems, no doubt, but certainly not all, and most certainly not the biggest problems, but that's what they'll say. I don't know if you remember this, and I'm kind of dating myself here, but in the 1980s, there was a popular bumper sticker that said this, "He who dies with the most toys wins." How many remember that bumper sticker? Okay, now you're showing how old you are. There you go. All right. By the way, that's a philosophy, if you don't mind me saying it this way, straight from the pits of hell. It absolutely is. Because God tells us in his word, and we're going to go here a little bit later in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Again, more about that verse later. So tonight we're going to look at the question, what does God say about riches? What does he say about riches? Again, we're here in the book of Proverbs, and for some time we have been comparing the wisdom of this world with the wisdom of God. And the idea of this series has come from James chapter 3. I say this just about every week, verses 13 through 18, where we see these two contrasts that are there. One is, of course, the wisdom of God. The other is the wisdom of this world. Now, we understand that the wisdom of this world, or should I say so-called wisdom, that of this world, it's rooted in unregenerate man's ideas and unregenerate man's philosophies, his understanding of life and of this world without God. Now, the wisdom of God, on the other hand, is the true wisdom, the only wisdom that's there, that is given to us by our omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty Creator God.
Amen.
And he has communicated his wisdom for us, to us, in his word. That's the Bible, by the way. Of course, King James Bible for English-speaking people. And so the idea here is that you and I, as we go through this journey of life, we have to choose. On one side, we have the wisdom of God, and on the other side, we have the wisdom of this world. Notice I pointed to you on the wisdom of God. Yeah, wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. Which is it going to be? And so tonight, I want to preach on this subject, if you'll notice it on your handout. It is a wisdom of understanding riches. Understanding riches as God tells us about riches. You know, there's a lot of confusion about God's perspective on riches. Some even religious people say, well, if you have faith, God will bless you with things. And the more right you are with God, the richer you'll be. There's actually prosperity preachers that will say that and will propagate that idea. That confuses people because that's not what the Word of God teaches.
Right.
You know, even the disciples, if you remember, when that rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they were a little confused as well when Jesus said to them, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." You can almost see by reading it as you read on their perplexity in their minds, if you will. They were perplexed by what he said. And they had asked him, well, then who can be saved? The idea was if they had money, obviously they must be right with God, and God must be blessing them, so why wouldn't they go to heaven? Point is this, again, there's a lot of confusion out there.
Right.
So let's see if we can't clear it up at least a little bit. Can't cover everything in the Bible about riches tonight, but let's talk about that here tonight. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about riches. It really does. It gives us a lot of instructions about it. The word riches and its forms, rich, riches, richest, and so forth, are found in 172 verses of the Bible. Matter of fact, 30 of those times, it's found in the book of Proverbs. Now, some related words in Scripture are words like money, which is found in 123 verses, the word wealth, which is found in 29 verses. And there are both instructions concerning riches, wealth, and money in the Bible, and there's also warnings concerning riches and wealth and money in the Bible also. But tonight I want to focus on that one word specifically, because it's a word we find in our text, and that is the word rich, or the word riches. So let's see if we can't figure out, what does God's wisdom say about riches? What should your perspective and my perspective be about money, about riches, about wealth? All right, let's consider number one. Would you write this down? Got your fancy word here tonight. I needed a P word. So the parsing of riches. Parsing, that means to analyze critically. If you don't know that, I'm sure most of you do. In other words, we're parsing this word out. Notice our verse says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, the idea of being rich or riches can be understood in two ways. Webster's 1828 kind of makes this distinction. It tells us that it can mean wealth, of affluence, possessions of land, goods, or money in abundance. So if you have a bunch of things, wealth or possessions, whether it be land or goods or money in abundance, that would be considered riches. But there's another way, and that is this: containing abundance beyond want in any area of life. Not just the material things, and we'll talk about that here in a moment, but anytime you have abundance beyond your wants or needs, if you will, then you are rich. So let's talk about what the Bible speaks about here in these two types of riches. The first one, letter A, is this: material riches. Now we get that stuff, right? We call it stuff. How many have a garage? Raise your hand. How many can't park a car in that garage? Keep your hand up, okay? Right. Yeah, we got stuff, don't we, right? Attics and basements and, man, you name it. We just have all kinds of stuff, and we seem to drop stuff off at Goodwill, and then we go out and buy more stuff. It's like this big rotational thing. That's kind of what we do. But my point is this: material riches are those material things that God blesses us with above and beyond our needs. Now think about that. The money that we make, the homes that we live in, anything that is above and beyond what we absolutely need and is an abundance. It is riches. Think about the furniture we have. The job that you have, the car that you drive, the clothes that you wear, the gadgets that we own, the cell phones, the big screen televisions, the computers, the Apple Watches, or whatever you got there, the vacations that we take, all of that, any material things, really what I'm talking about, that we have above and beyond what we need are truly material riches.
Amen.
And we all have them, don't we?
Praise the Lord.
We have them. And we have to always remember that any material thing that you and I receive comes from the hand of God. Well, I bought that, and that came from God, actually, believe it or not. You may have bought it with your money, but God gave you the money. The strength. We won't go down that route, but you get where I'm going. 1 Samuel 2:6, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich.
Amen.
That's what he does. That's what the Bible says. He makes poor and he makes rich. James 1:17, you know the verse, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, right? And cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, and God has chosen, when you look through his word, and really in our lives, we see that our God has chosen to bless many of his servants materially. He has, including you and including me. I think of people like Abraham. Genesis 13:2 doesn't hold back at all telling us what Abraham had. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. The Bible tells us Abraham was rich. He had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of material things. Genesis 24, speaking of Abraham again, his servant talking in verse 34 and 35, he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. He had a bunch of stuff. Abraham was blessed materially, blessed with material riches. Right. Isaac was no different. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Can you imagine that? They were looking, the lost, unregenerate people were looking at God's man, Isaac. And they thought, wow, look at all the stuff he's got. I wish I had what he has. They envied him. Now, material riches, I want us to think three things we have to remember when we think of material riches. We have to understand. Number one is this, their limitations. Their limitations. Now, material riches can help in a lot of areas and can help in a lot of ways. We could go down that route of how many things it can help us, but there are certain things that riches cannot do. And we have to understand this from the Bible perspective. They are limited. For example, I don't have this written down, but you might want to. They cannot save a soul. Amen. They can't. Right. They can't save anybody. Psalm 49 and verse 6 and 7. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You cannot buy your way into heaven.
Amen.
Now, most of you know that Roman Catholicism teaches that you can. They say, again, you can get someone out of purgatory by having the priest pray for them. And so what you have to do to get them to say a mass is how they call it often. And for the priest to pray for them, in order to pray, you have to pay. That's the way it goes. You got to buy a mass card. $30 was the going rate last I heard. I don't know. Maybe it's a discount anymore. I noticed online when I was preparing for this message, some places are doing them for $8 now. So there you go. Go online. But my point is this. Buying a mass card is not going to save anybody. And there is no purgatory, by the way, in the Bible. It's a scam because you can't buy anybody's ticket to heaven. So riches are, material riches aren't necessarily bad, but they are limited in that they cannot save a soul. There's another thing under their limitation. Again, I don't have a blank there for you, but that is this. They can't satisfy the soul.
Amen.
Not truly. Riches cannot bring you true peace, cannot bring you lasting joy, and they cannot bring you lasting fulfillment. Now, yes, you can have moments of happiness. You can have moments where you feel good because you bought something, but it doesn't last. It's not going to last. It is limited. You cannot buy peace. You cannot buy joy. And you cannot buy fulfillment. And so material riches are limited. But then number two, we have to understand not only their limitation, we have to understand their caution. Their caution. You see, we have to be very careful, more about this later as well, of the place of material riches in our lives.
Amen.
The Bible often tells us and warns us about this. Go over to 1 Timothy 6. You know we're going there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is the classic passage on this warning about material riches. Notice let's just read verse 17 for this caution that we're given. 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, watch this, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's talking about giving. So notice the warning here. It's saying be careful that you don't trust in uncertain riches, and that you don't become high-minded. That's a danger for all of us. You see, there's a host of cautions in the Bible about riches. We are not to prioritize material riches. We are not to trust in material riches. We are not to seek to accumulate material riches. Passages on that, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. We'll come back to this one as well. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here he's saying for us not to prioritize material riches. Because you know why? Material riches are here today and will be gone tomorrow.
Amen.
They will. We come in this world with nothing and we leave with nothing. They do not last forever. As a matter of fact, that passage I just mentioned to you in verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6 calls them uncertain riches.
Amen.
Shaky ground, if you will. Proverbs 11:28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, and the cares of this world, watch this, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So again, when we're talking about material riches, we have to remember their limitations and their caution. And then thirdly, we have to remember our satisfaction. Here's what I mean by that. Do you know, to a great extent, especially in the United States, whether or not we are rich is a matter of perspective.
Right.
It really is. You can have very little materially and see yourself as rich. You can have a lot materially and it never be enough.
Right.
It's all a matter of perspective. I like back in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 7. We read, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. You see, the point here I'm trying to make is that when we think about material riches, understand it is a matter of perspective, how you see things. And the Bible's very clear that whatever God allows us or doesn't allow us to have materially, whatever it is, we should be content.
Amen.
We should be okay with that. Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, often we use that verse, Philippians 4:13, and it's a great verse, and there are a legion of applications there. But the truth of the matter is, it's talking about being content there. In other words, I can be content no matter what through Christ. I can do all things, be abased, be content, whatever state I'm in, I'm okay. Why? Because of the work Jesus Christ has done in my heart. But I want to ask us tonight, how many of us are content? How many of us are satisfied with our lives? How many of us see ourselves as rich? Or how many of us were always saying, well, it's never enough, just never enough. I mean, you get this and you need something else. You need something else. You have a problem then with material riches.
Right.
Don't have a problem with it. Have God's perspective.
Amen.
On it. You know, the median household income in 2018 in the United States according to the Census Bureau, was $63,179 a year. That's the median household income in the United States. The median worldwide income, get this, is less than $2,000 a year. $2,000. That's right. That wasn't a mistake. $2,000, according to the Global Rich List. That means that half the households in America make more than 30 times the worldwide income. The question is, are we satisfied? If you made $1,500 last year, you are in the top 20% of the world's income earners. If you have $2,200 in assets, whether it be your furniture, car, clothing, house, you are in the top 50% of the world's wealthiest people. That's amazing. You see, if you're here tonight and you have a place to sleep, I think you probably do.
Amen.
And you have food to eat. And you have clothes to wear and a roof over your head.
Amen.
You ought to consider yourself rich. And I said more than even the Bible says, because in Philippians chapter 4, it said, with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I gave us a few more than that. We have over an abundance of all those things. You see, you and I ought to consider ourselves materially rich.
Amen.
So we see again, being rich, there's this one side of it, and that is letter A, I think it is, and that is material riches. We saw their limitation, their caution, and our satisfaction. But then there's another riches that the Bible talks about. It also refers to spiritual riches.
Praise the Lord.
Spiritual riches. Now, in Scripture, our spiritual blessings, the blessings that you and I get from God, are considered and referred to as riches.
Amen.
That's what the Bible calls them. Spiritual riches are those riches, and you know this, I think, that are intangible. They are non-material riches. In fact, the Bible calls them even this, durable riches. Given to us by God Himself, and riches that truly last.
Amen.
Again, material riches don't. They're going bye-bye one day. Spiritual riches are forever.
Amen.
Proverbs 8:18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. It's interesting that the author of Proverbs, Solomon there, says that riches and honor are with me, and he calls them the durable riches, the stuff that lasts. Those are the spiritual riches that you and I experience if we know the Lord. What are they exactly? Well, I did write these down, gave you a blank for. First of all, we consider salvation. That's a spiritual blessing, isn't it? Those are spiritual riches of being saved. Ephesians 2:7 says this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Imagine salvation here is called the exceeding riches of his grace. Imagine the forgiveness that salvation brings. Imagine the peace that salvation brings.
Absolutely.
The joy that knowing
Amen.
The Lord brings are all of them. All of them are part of the exceeding riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:18 puts it this way, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Amen.
That's talking about heaven right there. So if you're here tonight and you are saved, you may not have many material riches tonight, but I'll tell you what, you have a whole lot of spiritual riches.
Amen.
Amen. You are a possessor of great spiritual riches.
Amen.
And again, so we see the riches of salvation. Then also number two, and I just phrase it this way, what are some other spiritual riches? That is just the spiritual blessings that we get. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll of course, I won't tell you about that. That's why I'm standing up here tonight. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
Man, we are spiritually rich
Praise
tonight.
You
say, what spiritual blessings are you talking about? Well, how about this? The fact that God gives us strength for the journey.
Amen.
Well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. We have the strength Amen. That we need. The fact that we have his presence in our lives every Amen. Moment of the day. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hey, we're not in this thing alone. You may feel like we are sometimes, but we got to fix our thinking when we think that way and realize, no, he's here with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He gives us the wisdom of his word. Want to know how to respond to something? How to deal with something? Go to his word. You want to know how to raise your family? Go to the Bible. Don't go to the world. Go to the word of God. You want to know what is right and wrong? Go to the word of God. You want to know how to be a good husband, a wife, father, mother, whatever the case may be? Go to his word. That's where we get his wisdom. Then I think of also other spiritual blessings, the fact that God can use us to do anything.
Amen.
We get to be a part of his work in this Amen. World. He can use us to minister to others, to reach out to others, to serve him, Amen. Whether it be in the Sunday school or bus ministry or the usher or the sound or nursery or in the Christian school or as a pastor or staff member. Seeing God work through us, maybe just a soul winner in your office or whatever as a neighbor, but seeing God work through us is a tremendous blessing. You see, these are all spiritual riches that you and I have. 1 Timothy 1:12, I like the way Paul put it, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with Amen. Faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Sounds like Paul enjoyed serving the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He didn't fold his arms and say, well, I got to be an usher today. I got to work in a nursery today. I don't know where it was. Somebody in some church we were in called their nursery the dungeon. You know, you going down to the dungeon tonight? That's really encouraging. Listen, we are indeed spiritually rich people. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we see, number one, the parsing of riches, or dealing with that word. Number two, it's another lesson about riches, and that is the prioritization of riches. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. We have to have this thing in the right place when we think about riches. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. We are going to head back and talk about Proverbs 10 here in a minute. But you know the verse. Let's pick it up in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 6. Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Amen.
But seek ye, what's that next word?
First,
very good. Boy, you guys are with me tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, we understand when we think about material things, and this is where we have to get this balance down, if you don't mind me putting it that way, that we do have to pursue to a degree material things in order to survive. In other words, we have to work a job to pay our bills, right? The last time I checked, they weren't pumping water into my house for free, or electric into my house for free, or gas into my house for free. They send me nice little notices in the mail. And so, yeah, I know, I still do the mail thing. Sorry, not in all of them, but anyway. But we need to make money to do that. You need to make money to buy clothes. You need to make money to go get food at Walmart or Redner's. I prefer Redner's over Walmart. But anyway, amen to that, my wife would say. To send the kids to the Christian school. My point is this. Dealing with material things is a part of life. It is a part of even the Christian life. It's a part of life on earth. That's the way this thing has been set up, and it's been that way in the Bible as well. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with being able to do things and to go places and even to give more, be able to give more to God's work and to missionaries. But having nice things and doing things, really we should not feel guilty about it if our priorities are right.
Amen.
If they're right. Listen to what I mentioned, 1 Timothy 6:17. It talked about those riches. Let me just read the verse. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God, watch this, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. So it's not wrong with doing something that you enjoy. Again, as long as the perspective is right and the priorities are right. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being successful in your career. There's nothing wrong with being successful in your business. There's nothing wrong with progressing up the company ladder or the rank in military. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saving money. Nothing wrong with investing money. Nothing wrong with putting away for retirement, whether it be a 401k, 403b, IRA, whatever it may be. But understand something about all of that. Earthly riches and earthly success must not be our primary pursuit. That's how we got to have to get God's wisdom on this thing. Those things must not come before God.
Amen.
Never. Over and over in God's word, we are instructed not to pursue material things, but instead pursue God. Pursue Him first. That's why we read again in verse 33, I had to say the word first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. And all these things, the material things that God knows you need, will be added or shall be added unto you. And this is where so many Christians go wrong. So many Christians miss it. Listen, I worked in the secular world for years. I understand what you're dealing with. I understand the pressures. I understand the fight you have to fight. And I mean that metaphorically. To keep a Sunday off and to keep Wednesdays off and to make sure you put church first. But so many Christians don't. They allow their job, or they allow their career, or they allow their pursuit of things, or a certain lifestyle that they want to maintain, or their desire to get ahead, to come before their faithfulness to and their service to God. And that's not right.
Amen.
God's not going to bless that.
Right.
Well, it's no big deal, and nothing's happened yet. Yet's the key word.
Right.
Be careful.
Amen.
I've said this quote often, and it's not a quote by me. Obviously, it wouldn't be a quote, but I think it's very good. And it says this: you will meet more people in life who have failed because of success than they do because of what the world calls failure. In other words, they have found an area in life in which to succeed, but his success has caused him to neglect God. You see, that's exactly the story of Luke chapter 12. Won't go there for time's sake. Where that rich man had forgotten God. He was successful in this world. People were looking at him thinking, man, what a guy. Look at all the stuff he has. Man, he's building barns. He's got to build more barns. Man, I want to be like him. And then God interrupted the whole thing and said to him, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And the problem with that man was this. Not that he had stuff, is that he allowed that stuff to cause him to neglect God.
Amen.
And that's a mistake that many, many believers make. Listen, don't make the mistake of misplaced priorities, because it will cost you dearly.
Amen.
It may cost you your marriage. It may cost you your children. It may cost you a ministry. But it will cost you, mark my words, because it's a Bible truth.
Amen.
Make sure that you are seeking spiritual riches before material riches.
Amen.
Very, very important. So we see, number one, the parsing of riches. Number two, the prioritization of riches. Then thirdly, the principle concerning riches. We learn another thing about riches. We're going back to our text. You said you forgot that, didn't you? No, I didn't forget it. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 10. Here's another principle. Notice Proverbs 10:22. Let's look at the first portion, part of it. Notice we read, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich.
Amen.
Okay. So notice there's a Bible principle here in our text that applies both to material riches and to spiritual riches. He says this, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now, what's interesting is this. In this very same chapter, back in verse 4, we seems like we were just told something different. Notice in verse 4 of chapter 10, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Here it is. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Well, which is it? Is it the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich? Or is it the hand of the diligent that maketh rich? Well, here's the answer. Both. Both. You see, there's no contradiction here.
Amen.
Both of them are true. Because neither of them will be effective without the other.
Amen.
Here's what I mean. As we think of material things and spiritual things and riches and so forth, in order for you and me to, for lack of a better word, advance, move forward, if you will, in either material blessings or spiritual blessings, understand there must be a co-laboring with ourselves and God. That's how he works.
Amen.
There's a co-laboring there. Let me see if I can't explain this a little bit better. This principle is seen in many Bible verses. For example, watch this, Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You see it? Right? The horse is prepared for the battle by man, but the safety is of God.
Amen.
Psalm 127 in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, watch this, they labor in vain that build it. Wait a minute. They're laboring in the Lord. Wait a minute. How's that work? Yeah, it's both together. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So notice there's a laborer of a house, but then the Lord has to bless that. There's a watchman watching over the city, but then the Lord blesses that as well. Here's what I mean. There must be two things. Letter A, man's part.
Amen.
We're talking about riches and laboring and so forth. You see, in order for you to be able to pay your bills, to get food on the table, to buy those clothes that you need, to get a place to live, you have to go out and do your part.
Amen.
You say, what's that? Get a job. Get a job. That's God's way. Go to work. Save your money and so forth. This is the part that God wants us to do. There's a co-laboring here when we think about this idea of riches. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Amen.
Preacher, I'm having problems paying my bills. Are you working? Well, yeah, I'm working. Get another job. Hello? Did the microphone cut out there? I'm just kidding. Get another job if you have to. But keep the priorities the same, right? Remember, now don't put that before God. But if you got to do, you got to do what you got to do. So notice there's this two sides to this thing as we are laboring in this world. We're talking about those riches, if you will. Let's talk about this, first of all, personally. If you want to buy a house, guess what? You got to work. You know, a lot of times young people look at what other people have that are older than them. Often it's the children that are maybe newly married with the parents and what they've taken years or decades to build up. And they think, well, I want that right now. Well, you probably won't get it right now because that's not how it works. You got to work. You got to save. You got to do that. Many of them, now you may be able to, but many of them will go into debt in order to do that. But again, the idea is here. There's two sides here. You want to take a trip, go on a vacation? Guess what? Work and do all that. You want to get a car, a nicer car? Then work. Do what you got to do. Earn money. And by the way, it's the same as the spiritual blessings, not only the material things. If we want to see our church grow, what do we do? Well, we put a sign out there and put something on the internet and just hope people come in. No. We got to go after people.
Amen.
We
got to
go after them.
Amen.
You want to see your bus route grow? If you're a bus worker, guess what? You got to visit.
Amen.
You got to visit. If you want your son, maybe your Sunday school class has diminished because of what we've been going through. Guess what? Get out there, hit the pavement, go after people, call people, do all that. Do your part. If we want our church to support more missionaries, guess what? We have to give. And that's the way it goes. If you want to personally grow as a Christian, you don't just sit back and say, oh God, I want to grow. Oh God, I want to grow. Make me closer to you. And not read your Bible and pray. You got to do something about it. If you want your kids to turn out right, got to do your part. You got to discipline them. You got to keep them in church. You got to be the example and all of that. Point is this, you can't just sit back and do nothing. We must do our part. That's the principle concerning both material riches and spiritual riches. Amen. And then letter B, there's God's part. Now, here's a principle. It's when we consistently do our part
Amen.
That God does his part.
Amen.
He blesses. Again, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He doesn't just bless arbitrarily. He blesses us because of work and faithfulness and doing what we're supposed to do. And what does he do? He gives us his riches abundantly. You see, the problem we face is that we want God to do his part, but we don't want to do our part.
Right.
But that's not the principle. The principle is this: we do ours, he does his.
Amen.
And then there's one last thing, and we're done tonight. Not only the parsing of riches, not only the prioritization of riches, not only this principle concerning riches, then lastly, notice the promise about riches. We're done right here. Look at verse 22 of chapter 10. Notice the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Here's this phrase, and he addeth no sorrow with it.
Amen.
What does that mean? And he addeth no sorrow with it. Does that mean that I won't experience any sorrow in life? No, that's not what it means. But it does mean this. Put it in the context of all we've said and all we've seen in the book of Proverbs. It means this. If you and I have the right perspective on riches, if we keep it the right priority, God first, amen, and then everything else after, then what happens is that God will, when we have that perspective and that priority, then God blesses it. And he blesses it with physical and spiritual riches. And watch this. They won't have the sorrows that God promised would be present if we don't have that right perspective.
Right.
Do you get that? Let me see that verse. I'll help you out. We're down here. 1 Timothy 6, going back there. You say, what do you mean by that? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Remember, Proverbs 10:22 talked about not having that sorrow. But notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, we read, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many
sorrows.
That's interesting. Here's what that means. It means when you do things God's way, when you have, again, the right priorities about riches, the right perspective on riches, then there will be no guilt
Amen.
And no remorse
Amen.
And no fear of facing God
Amen.
With the way that you've handled your finances
Amen.
And your riches. You see, none of that will be there, those sorrows that he promises to those who covet after money. If we do it God's way.
Amen.
Tonight, the wisdom of understanding God's riches. Question is this. Do you have God's perspective on riches?
Amen.
Do you understand material and spiritual where they ought to be? Do you understand that we have to keep our priorities right? Because when we do, guess what? God will bless us, and he'll bless us materially and spiritually. I'm not talking about prosperity preaching here. I'm talking about doing things God's way, and we can go through this life blessed of God and having that peace of God that passes all
Amen.
Understanding. Let's pray.